Ephesians chapter 4, familiar verses in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God,
amen,
whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Amen.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another,
amen,
even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We'll pray and we'll go to Proverbs in a moment. Father, please bless the message tonight. I recognize that I need you. I pray that you'd rebuke and bind the devil. I pray that you'd fill me anew and afresh with thy spirit. As we realize tonight that this topic we're dealing with is something that all of us, I would say all of us, at one time or another, struggle with and have to grapple with. And so I pray that we would get your mind on this subject, that we would have understanding of how we are to deal with these things. Again, I ask your leadership tonight, lead and direct every thought and every word. And I claim the truth that your word will not return void. Lord, you promised that. And I trust that this evening. May it accomplish the work you said that it set out to do. We do pray if there's someone here tonight not saved, that tonight they'd come to know Christ as Savior. And for the believer, that, Lord, we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And perhaps tonight in particular in this area of the Christian life. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for some time now, we have been in this series that I've entitled The Battle in the Mind. Again, not the battle for the mind, but the battle that is going on in your mind and my mind every single moment of the day. And the idea of this series is rooted back in Proverbs chapter 23, if you'll go back there. And this is kind of the premise of this series. It's a topical series, practical series, taken from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Notice the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he."
Amen.
And the idea is from this verse we learn that what you and I think about, as we think, what we dwell upon, what we muse over, what we chew on, as we're thinking throughout the day, what we focus our mind and our thoughts on, as he thinketh, notice, in his heart, that produces emotions.
Amen.
How many know what I'm talking about? I can tell by your face and my face sometimes that we're thinking about something and we're not happy about it. And so these emotions are the driving force behind our behavior. Notice the three operative words, thinketh, and heart, and is. So understand, as we think, again, our thoughts generate, notice the little graph or whatever you want to call it, the words I put up there at the top, our thoughts produce emotions, and our emotions quite often drives our behavior. And our emotions affect our actions, what we do, the decisions that we make, our attitudes, our spiritual well-being. And in past messages, I've even talked about how it even affects our physical well-being.
Amen.
Sure does. So what we think about is vital to our spiritual well-being. When you and I are thinking right, when we have these thoughts come in and we process them biblically, what do we experience? We experience peace, joy, rest, contentment, all of those things that the Lord promises. But when we're not thinking right, we will not. And instead, we are filled with care, full of care, right? Be careful for nothing is not what describes us. In fact, quite the opposite. We're full of care. We're full of stress and anxiety and depression, you name it, so on and so forth. And so we must learn to purposefully control our thinking.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, can we do that?" Well, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, you know we can. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because this is a vitally important verse for what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you remember verse 5, we are commanded to control our thinking. You say, "I just can't help the way I think." Yes, you can.
Amen.
And so can I. Notice 2 Corinthians 10:5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Philippians 4:8 puts it this way. At the end of the verse, I won't read the whole thing for time's sake, but we're told to think on these things.
Amen.
By the way, I think I should interject this at this time. This is not an easy thing to do.
Amen.
It is not. It will take a deliberate, conscious effort to do this because our mind naturally thinks wrong. But while it may be difficult, it is surely possible. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now tonight, the area that I'd like to examine, the area of thinking that is vital to experiencing peace and joy and rest in our lives, in the Christian life, is the area of forgiveness.
Amen.
Forgiveness. So tonight I want to deal with this subject. If you'll notice at the top of your sheet, you'll find the title, Peace Through Forgiveness.
Amen.
Are you experiencing peace tonight?
Amen.
If not, perhaps it's because you are struggling with forgiveness. You see, you and I can experience peace, but it only comes through forgiveness.
Praise.
You know, the word forgiveness or forgive and its forms are mentioned in over 90 verses in the Bible. Of course, we read in Ephesians, going back to our text, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, notice, forgiving one another.
Amen.
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It means in its most basic meaning, listen to this, the meaning of forgiveness in its basic meaning, I'll give us a little lengthier one in a moment here, but it means this, to release a debt.
Amen.
To release a debt. Now, there's no doubt that the greatest application of this word, forgiveness, comes when it refers to salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm happy that we have a God that releases our debt. Amen. Think about the forgiveness that you and I receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I like Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Let me get there quickly if you'll give me a moment here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord.
I like that.
Amen.
You and I are sinners. We have a sin debt to God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. We deserve God's punishment. We deserve God's judgment in hell. Yet God loves you and me and this entire world so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary. Yes. To do what? To pay for our sins in full. So that you and I, if we repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior, can be forgiven of all of our sins.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? If you're here and you're saved tonight, that means you have been released from the debt that you owed to God.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That, my friend, is forgiveness. We are released of the debt by God through Jesus Christ, and God says he remembers our sins no more.
Amen.
And boy, it's wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
To receive forgiveness.
Amen.
And I want to ask you tonight, have you received it? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, preacher, it's Wednesday night. I'd assume everybody's saved here tonight. That's not certain. It could be some young person here or someone here that's never trusted Christ, is lost, and they need to be saved tonight. Can I say this? You can be forgiven tonight.
Amen.
If you want to.
Amen.
You can receive that forgiveness. But you know that the same God who grants us free forgiveness, free to us, but not him, it cost him his son. But that same God who grants us forgiveness commands us to exercise forgiveness toward others.
Amen.
That's the part we don't like.
Right.
I like the part when I get forgiven, amen?
Amen?
But that same God tells me that has received his forgiveness to now exercise forgiveness towards others. Watch this. Catch these words. Without exception.
Amen.
But, Don't even try it. Forgive one another, amen, without exception. Ephesians 4:32 again. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, exercising forgiveness is vital for our spiritual well-being.
Amen.
So tonight I want to ask this question, okay? How do we do it? Let's see if we can't go through this tonight. Let's consider several things as we deal with peace through forgiveness. Number one, let's consider the problem that we face. You know what? There's a problem we face. You say, what is this? What is it, people? Look at Luke chapter 17, if you would, please. The Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter 17 is preparing his disciples for his departure and for their service to him when he is gone. And he warns them here in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1, of a problem that they are going to face. He's trying to warn them of an ugly reality, may I put it that way, an ugly reality of living the Christian life, and that is this. Let's read verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him.
Amen.
And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said what you and I would say to the Lord when he said this to us. God, help us increase our faith.
Amen.
It's a hard thing to do. Perhaps one of the hardest things in the Christian life to do. But vitally important, again, because our thoughts that control our emotions, which control our behavior, we have to think in this manner of peace through forgiveness. Two things about offenses. Number one is this, the reality of offenses. Notice that Christ says that they will come. He didn't say they might come. He didn't say they could possibly come. He said, you know, some of you this is going to happen to. No, he says they will come. Somewhere along the line, and all of us know this to be true, you will be or you have already been offended.
Right.
Somebody will hurt you.
Right.
Someone will harm you. And I think every one of us in this auditorium could attest to this fact. Some people have experienced some pretty horrible things in their lives. Some have been physically abused in their past. Some have experienced sexual abuse as a child. Some have experienced neglect as a child or a lack of being loved. Perhaps a spouse here experiences verbal abuse. Perhaps others have experienced being falsely accused of something or falsely represented or lied to about something or lied about something or taken advantage of by someone, getting ripped off, if you will, by someone, getting robbed by someone, getting hurt by the accusations, actions, assumptions, or the injustices of others. I think I covered just about everything. They could even come from believers.
Right.
Or someone close to us, like a spouse. Not mine, but yours. I had to say that. I know who I'm going home with. Maybe a loved one, someone you love. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe, I don't know, you name it. But don't think because they're close to you, oh, they won't hurt me. Offenses will come. These are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said will happen.
Amen.
You say, I don't think that's right. They shouldn't happen. You're right. They shouldn't happen, but they do.
Right.
And they will. Well, that's not fair and that's not right. If there's a God in heaven who's a just God, how can he allow this? Hey, may I remind us that these are the results of living in a sin-cursed world.
Amen.
With even believers that have a sin nature. Offenses are a reality. I don't think I have to preach that one too long. I think we all know that. But then number two, and not only the problem, the reality of offenses, but also number two, or letter B, our response to offenses. You see, this is where the problem lies. If you're thinking here, well, I just want to get in a church where nobody hurts anyone or nobody says anything bad about anyone. Everybody loves one another, and we all skip out of the service singing Kumbaya every time. Well, that's in fantasy land. There is no such thing as that. The problem is not the reality of offenses. They're going to happen even in our church. The problem is our response to them. What happens is this. We start thinking about what happened to us. We start thinking about something that happened in the past. And this is how it fits in to our little chart, if you will, up top. And so we think about this thing that happened, who hurt us, and so forth. And we allow that memory, and may I say the replaying of that memory, to affect the present moment. That's where the problem is. For example, perhaps you've been hurt or harmed in the past by something, and what you do is you relive it in your mind. And we think about it, and we allow that thought, instead of doing what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast it out, what we do is we meditate on it, we think about it, we go back there, if you will, muse over it, and we get angry or bitter over it again and again and again. It's quiet in here because it's true.
Amen.
You see, our thinking affects our emotions, which affects our actions. And the only way to deal with offenses is not to try to make it an offenseless world, if you will, but to exercise forgiveness.
Amen.
It's the only way to deal with it. Exercise forgiveness. Which brings us to number two. So we see the problem we face, our response to offenses. Number two, the practicing of forgiveness. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Matthew 6. Do you know that forgiving others that have offended us is a command?
Amen.
It is both commanded by Jesus Christ, but it is also critical to our spiritual well-being. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen.
So notice it is a command. Christ is saying here, you are commanded to forgive. We could go over, if you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 18, why don't we go there? Matthew 18 is this great parable on forgiveness where Peter comes to the Lord and says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And he says, not till seven times, but 70 times seven. And he talks about this parable. But I won't read that, maybe refer to it a little bit later, and I think I will. But I want you to notice verse 35. Here is the conclusion of the matter. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Amen.
We're commanded to forgive.
Amen.
But how do we do that?
That's good.
How do I know if I've done it? How do I know if I've truly exercised forgiveness or if I just have said the words? Well, let's get into this a little bit. This is kind of the angle I want to take tonight on this message. Three important things about forgiveness. Letter A is this. Forgiveness is not emotional. It's not emotional. In other words, it is not just controlling my feelings. I'm just not going to be bitter about that. I am not going to let that bother me. Forgiveness is not just changing our feelings. It's not controlling our feelings about the offense or the offender. In other words, if you're like me, I can, and this is where I go wrong so often, I can learn to just get over it and move on. Now that may look good outwardly, but it doesn't help me inwardly. We're kings and queens at sweeping things under the carpet. Well, just forget about that, and just we'll pretend that's not there. So we can bury it, we can hide it, and just control our emotions and have the idea, well, since I'm controlling my emotions, then I guess I've gotten over it. No, you may never have truly exercised forgiveness. So forgiveness is not emotional. Letter B, forgiveness is not physical. Here's what I mean. Simply saying the words, well, I forgive you, or receiving the words, I'm sorry, doesn't mean you exercise forgiveness.
Amen.
It's not just some mechanical thing that you go through. If someone says, well, I'm sorry, I offended you, and you say, well, I forgive you, and you walk away, and although you physically said those things inside your heart, you haven't forgiven. It is not a physical thing. Again, even if you receive restitution, maybe somebody gave you a bad deal, or they ripped you off or took something, and they give it back and make amends, and you take it and say, well, thank you, you've made restitution, we're good. And you even say the words, I forgive you. You can go through all of those physical things, but in your heart still hold some bitterness against
Amen.
Them. It's possible. Sometimes we get the idea, and I do, if I say I've forgiven them enough, then that means I did. But that doesn't mean I did. Okay, so it's not emotional, and it's not physical, and not just saying words or going through something. Notice letter C, here's what it is. Forgiveness is mental. It happens in your mind. Could we say in your heart? I think that would be the same principle I'm dealing with here. It's something that has to take place, not an emotional feeling, not just a physical action. It's something that you have to think in your mind and let it sink into your heart, and you'll see it's going to come out in your actions.
Amen.
Forgiveness could be defined as this, and I should have wrote this down. I wanted to on the paper, but you might want to write this down at the bottom there. Forgiveness could be defined, and I know I said something earlier, but listen to this. The releasing of an offense or a debt, however you want to say it, by refusing to remember it.
Amen.
That's interesting. The releasing of a debt by refusing to remember it. You say, where'd you get that from? Well, God.
Amen.
The Bible.
The Lord.
Sounds like our Sunday school kids whenever there's a question. God, the Bible, Jesus. Got to be one of those three. That's the answer. Fit in there somewhere. Let me show you. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 8. Wasn't planning on going here, but we will. So give me a second there. I got all these marks in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 8. Let me ask you this. When you get saved, are we forgiven?
Praise the Lord.
Right? That means when I trust Christ, God forgives me. What does that mean? Well, we read it in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Watch this. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Praise the Lord.
You say, wait a minute. He's God. How can he? That means he forgets. No. There's a difference here. Let me see. There's a slight nuance of a difference here. The word remember here means this. To choose not to bring it up again.
Amen.
God didn't forget what we did. He didn't forget those things. He just chooses not to remember them anymore.
Praise the Lord.
I like that. And that's what it means. Their sins and their iniquity. Remember to choose not to bring it up again. It's kind of like this. I don't know if you've ever paid off. I hope we've all paid off loans. But maybe you paid off a mortgage. Or you paid off a car loan. And you know, once you've paid off that loan, you don't get any notices, at least you shouldn't anyway, from the car company to remind you about the loan that you had. Now, they may be trying to sell you something new. I understand that. But they don't write back and say, oh yeah, remember the loan you had and this and that. They don't even talk about it. It's gone. It's forgiven.
Right.
It's taken care of. And that kind of lame illustration is what forgiveness is. You see, when you and I practice forgiveness, here's the deal, and I'm trying to be practical tonight. We release an offense. We release a debt. We release a hurt that somebody did to us. Why? By refusing to remember it, by refusing to think about it anymore.
Amen.
You say, well, wait a minute here. I think about it all the time. I'm talking about musing over it. I'm talking about when that thought comes in, just dismiss it. Say, I am not going to remember that anymore. And we dismiss it. That's the practicing of forgiveness. So we see, number one, the problem we face. The reality of offenses, our response to offenses. The problem's really our response. Number two, we have to practice forgiveness with offenses. It's not an emotional thing. It's not a physical thing. It is a mental thing. And then number three, the proof of forgiveness. How do I know if I've done it? How do I know? How do you and I know if we've truly forgiven somebody? Well, there's two ways, and here they are. Number one, or letter A, is this. True forgiveness produces, and I'll explain this in a moment, just write the word down, a commitment. A commitment. I'm going to tell you what the commitment is in a moment here. Again, Hebrews 8:12, and it's also said again in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Watch this. Here's the blank underneath that letter A. True forgiveness will produce a commitment to never bring up the offense again.
Amen.
It's not easy, is it?
Right.
But that's what true forgiveness is. If I sort of say, I am going to forgive, and I truly have, it's going to produce a commitment that I will never bring up that offense again.
Right.
Now, let's get into some specifics. Never bring it up, number one, to the offender.
Amen.
You know, if I've forgiven, I won't remind them of what they did to me. By the way, this is often seen between spouses. Well, you remember what you did to me back then. You remember how you treated me. I shouldn't be pointing over there to my wife. You remember what you did to me back then. That was an accident, honey. It really was. Please forgive me. That means you don't bring it up again in the car when we go home. Sometimes we like to use that offense. Watch this. As ammunition in an argument. Oh yeah, you remember this? Pow, 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 pow. But if we've truly forgiven, we won't do that.
Amen.
We won't remind them. We won't bring it up again and again to the person that offended us and use it as ammunition. We will not bring it up again to the offender. But it doesn't stop there. We also won't bring it up, number two, to others.
Right.
We like to talk. I've noticed that. Amen. Have you noticed that? People like to talk. And you know, what we like to talk about is other people.
Right.
Well, not here at Capitol, but I've read about other churches that do that. No. Now watch this. If I have truly forgiven, then I won't tell everybody else what that person did to me. Hey, you better watch out for this person because you know what they did to me about a year ago. Or you remember what? You know, if I'm doing that, that means I have never forgiven them in my heart. If I am parroting what they've done to someone else and to another person and another person and to another person, that means that I have not truly forgiven.
Right.
If I'm telling them what they did, how they hurt me, what happened to me in the past, I haven't exercised it. But there's a third one, and that's this. True forgiveness, again, will not bring the offense up to the offender, to others. It watch this now, stay with me. It won't even bring it up to God. Do you know if I forgave, then it's over.
Right.
I don't have to pray about it.
That's right.
Because it's forgiven. I don't have to go talk to God about it. Why? Because it's gone. It's forgiven. I've already dealt with it. God, understand the example here, the great example of forgiveness is God. And he doesn't bring up our offenses at all. And we're not to do that either.
Amen.
Even to him.
Amen.
Well, I'm just struggling with it. Well, what you're struggling with is exercising forgiveness.
Amen.
You may want to pray to God about helping you forgive. I'm not saying that. But understand, if you are praying to him about this, that means you have not. Because when we forgive, we released it, it's gone.
Amen.
Then there's a fourth group or person that we don't bring it up to, and that is this. And this is the toughest one, myself.
Amen.
I like to bring it up to myself, though. I do. How many people, like you're thinking, when I say thinkers, I'm not trying to make us sound like, you know, you're some intellectual. I mean, your mind races a lot. Anybody like that? I'm right there with you, okay? I really have to work at disciplining my mind, particularly when, in the world we live in. We have to. That's what this series has been all about. And so understand, it only takes one little thing to something to happen to prompt a thought. And think of that person that hurt me. I didn't put this in my notes, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You like those things, don't you? I was preaching at Ambassador one time in the chapel. And there was a person there when I was in Oxford that did me. He was Alexander the Coppersmith. He did me much harm. Much harm, like to wreck the church. When you stand up in a canoe, it causes a lot of problems. When you stand up on a steamship, nobody notices. You understand what I'm saying? It was a small church. And somebody stands up and rocks the boat. Some people won't fly out. While I was preaching, I was preaching in Ambassador, and I just got up to preach, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I thought he walked in the door. And let me tell you something. Even when you're preaching, you have to deal with yourself. This feeling came over me like, I don't know, it felt like from head to toe, blood, I don't know what it was. But I could not look over there. I could not look over there. And because I was sure it was him. Well, anyway, by the time the end came, and through the whole message, I thought he was there. Which, you know. Well, after the message was over, I realized that wasn't him. It wasn't him at all. I had to deal with it. But it also showed me this. It also showed me, you know, maybe I should check my heart if I've forgiven that person.
Amen.
Because if he did come in, I should say, well, he's here. Praise the Lord. Shouldn't
Amen.
Bother me.
Amen.
You know? But I had to deal with that for me. And it brought up all those things. And I had to cast down stuff
Amen.
While I'm preaching.
Amen.
You say, you do that? Yeah, we're preachers are weird.
Amen.
But I had to deal with myself. You see, if I have forgiven, when a thought comes, when I see something that triggers it, understand this is very important. I do not allow myself to meditate on what happened. I don't chew it up again and again. I don't rehearse the event over and over in my mind. That's what true forgiveness is going to do.
Amen.
It produces a commitment to never bring it up again. But then it produces another thing, letter B, write this down. True forgiveness also produces a sacrifice. Now watch this, stay with me here. Do you know that true forgiveness always involves sacrifice? Isn't that what Calvary is all about? We got forgiveness because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you know when we forgive someone, understand what's happening, we are actually making a sacrifice.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I'm going to sacrifice. Number one is this. I'm going to sacrifice my personal pain.
Amen.
You know, being hurt is painful. I'm not making light of this. Believe me, I've dealt with a lot of people that have gone through some horrific things in their childhood. I'm talking about abuse. I'm talking about things that would make your head spin to believe a human being could do that to another human being. So I'm not minimizing the hurt. I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. But or the pain. Yet it's very painful to be hurt. It's very painful to be offended. It's very painful to be misrepresented or lied about or taken advantage of. But understand, when I forgive someone, what I'm saying is this. I'm sacrificing. I'm setting aside my pain.
Amen.
I'm setting it aside. I am not going to live with that pain anymore. So I sacrifice my personal pain. Number two is this. I also sacrifice my position as a victim.
Amen.
Do you know the thing that happens so often is when someone gets offended or hurt, particularly something in the past, here's what happens. We take a victim mentality.
Amen.
And so I have to say, well, I'm going to forgive. So guess what? I am going to sacrifice my position as a victim. You know, that's hard for some people. There's even people that, this is going to sound weird, but it's true, they enjoy having the victim mentality. Yes. They enjoy being a victim because people pay attention to them. Oh, I'm such a victim and this and that. And they get people's attention. They get people's sympathy. And so to cast aside being a victim would mean casting aside all of that. But forgiveness is a sacrifice of my position as a victim. That's true forgiveness. I say, I'm not going to be a victim of this anymore. I have forgiven. Amen. And then number three is this. It also sacrifices, and I made reference to this a little bit earlier, my power over the offender. Here's what I sacrifice. My power over the offender. I sacrifice any thought of retaliation. Why is it do we sometimes think it's spiritual to retaliate? You know, he deserves it. They did to me, so I am going to give it back. He sowed the wind. Boy, he's going to now reap the whirlwind. It's almost as if we have biblical justification to dump on, you know what I mean, retaliate against them. All of a sudden, the Bible goes out the window. They hurt me. Hey, no rules anymore. I'm going to take care of this. Be careful.
Right.
That's not what we're to do.
Right.
We sacrifice that thought of retaliation. We do not hold that fault over the offender's head. And again, as I said earlier, I don't use what happened as ammunition against them.
Amen.
This is what true forgiveness produces.
Amen.
A commitment to never bring it up again. And the sacrifice of my personal pain, my position as a victim, and my power over the offender.
Right.
So I ask you, have you exercised forgiveness? And then number four, and we're done right here. Not only the problem we face, the practicing of forgiveness, the proof of forgiveness. Then lastly, notice the power of forgiveness. Do you know that forgiveness is a powerful thing? And I think sometimes we don't realize how powerful a thing it is. It is a powerful thing. Let me show what I mean. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I think you remember the story in 1 Corinthians about the man who was disciplined out of the church because he refused to repent over being with his stepmom. You remember that in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's 5, or I believe it is. Well, here they're talking about this saint. Evidently, this man repented. And he got right with God. And he came back into the church. And there were people in the church that refused to forgive him. Even though he did everything that was necessary to get right with God, get back into church, they didn't want to forgive him. And Paul is kind of, in a sense, rebuking them for not forgiving.
Amen.
And notice what we read in verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Watch this. This is what I'm talking about here. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
In other words, when we don't exercise forgiveness, understand something. The devil loves that. Because he knows what it's doing to you and me. It's causing us to self-destruct. You see, when you and I forgive someone, understand we're not letting them off the hook, if you know what I mean. They're not getting away scot-free. What is actually happening is this. When we exercise forgiveness in our minds, we're actually setting ourselves free. We're setting ourselves free, not them, us. Because when we don't forgive, it produces anger and bitterness. And you know, that person that you may have not forgiven is walking around. They may not even know what's going on. And we're so angry and bitter inside, so when we exercise it, we're setting ourselves free from the bondage of unforgiveness.
Amen.
And we're no longer enslaved by what was done to us. It's a very liberating thing.
Praise the Lord.
You say, I haven't felt that yet. Well, maybe you haven't exercised forgiveness. Because when you and I truly exercise forgiveness, understand, you're going to feel the weight of that thing off of you. It doesn't mean you may not have to do it again and again. It doesn't mean that maybe 3 weeks later, here comes that thought again through your mind. You got to do it again and again and again. But understand, when you do that, you're setting yourselves free from bondage.
Amen.
And the enslavement of that person and that sin. You know what happens miraculously? Is we receive the peace of God.
Praise the
that passes all understanding. And we reflect, arguably more than in any other way, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, the world doesn't understand forgiveness. They don't get it. I remember when I was up in Oxford, if you remember, it was about the time of, do you remember the Nickel Mines shooting with that guy that was a truck driver? You may or may not remember this. But it was a truck driver that went in, he just shot up an Amish school. Just all these girls, all these little kids just went in there. He drove a milk truck around our area. We were the closest independent Baptist church to that event that happened. And I remember this, and I understand we don't agree with the Amish theology. I understand all that. We don't believe in a work salvation or all that. But I'll tell you what amazed the world was when those Amish people got together and on the newscast shortly after that said, "We forgive him." Can you imagine your child being murdered in cold blood for going to school? And them saying, "We forgive you."
Amen.
We forgive him. Wow. They ended up burning down the school just to forget all memory about it. What a reflection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. So different than the world. One verse and we're done. Luke chapter 23. In verse 33. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
For they know not what they do.'"
Amen.
Crucify him! Crucify him! He's out of here! "Father, forgive them.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They know not what they do."
Amen.
Would to God we would reflect our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
in this very difficult matter of forgiveness.
Amen.
But if we do, we want to have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together.